This podcast contains content that may be disturbing to some listeners. Check the episode description for more details and resources. And as always, take care of yourself. The park by Kim and Terry's house wasn't big, but Kim liked to go there on good days and take laps around the lake in the middle. On the days I made it up to Jersey, every other week at this point, I went with her. On the days she wasn't in school, Marina went to the pool with a friend, or else she went over to her grandparents' apartment, or else she spent time with Shauna, her birth mom.
Oh yeah, I met her.
You met Shauna?
At Marina's last birthday party.
Of course I hadn't been there. Kim seemed to realize what she said and changed the topic.
Where do they go?
She took Marina to a movie last time. Something Disney.
Cute.
Kate hates it. She feels like Marina will get too attached and think Zora and I aren't her real moms.
Well, good thing she's not Kate's kid. For real, you're both awesome moms, and fuck what she thinks.
I guess.
You know I'm right. Can we sit down?
I looked over at Kim. Since the boxing gym, she'd lost some weight. Enough that I could see her collarbone where I couldn't have before. Her chest was heaving and sweat dotted her forehead. We'd walked maybe a mile, halfway around the lake. It wasn't warm. Yeah, of course. She stumbled over and sat down. She took a deep breath.
Thanks. Sorry.
You don't need to apologize. But I knew how she felt. I'd done the same thing.
I worry sometimes what's going to happen to my body, even if I beat this.
When?
What?
When you beat this.
Your optimism annoys me.
Really, I don't know anyone as strong as you.
You don't know a lot of people. You don't beat leukemia 3 times.
I mean, have you ever tried?
No, I guess I haven't.
You just have to, like, Mr. Miyagi it or whatever you do.
Mm-hmm. Exactly that. You should really be the one teaching karate.
I do my best.
Is that what you do in the psych hospital? Just beat the crap out of your depression with your fists?
Oh yeah, that's what they teach you in therapy.
At least we can be sick together, I guess.
It's different. You don't beat depression by being strong. You beat it by not being weak.
Where the fuck did you learn that?
What do you mean?
You're so dumb sometimes. You're fucking resilient.
Kim.
That's the bad mental stuff talking. It's telling you you're not the right kind of sick just because you don't look sick or have tumors and shit in your body. I promise you, it's not that different. You need the same stuff to beat it. You know, dumb luck and some drugs. Come on, I bet I can still beat you back.
If you take off running and pass out, I swear I'm dumping your body in the lake and telling your husband you died of being a moron. Ronnie is the first person to tell you you'll never get well. She had developed depression as a preteen, like you. And your mom had recruited her to come talk to you on the temple steps outside the sanctuary, recently remodeled to accommodate wide windows and more sunlight. Since you are in New York, that really only works for the half of the year that daylight savings pushes everyone forward an hour. You didn't want Ronnie to know what was wrong with you. You didn't want anyone to know. It was embarrassing to be sick, especially with something so many people told you that you could control. But she is here. And so you ask her when she stopped having those thoughts. She smiles at you sadly, her lips thin. Never, she says. Learning you will be sick forever thrills a little disorder demon growing in your mind. Several therapists have talked to you about thinking of your disorders, OCD, depression, anxiety, as physical. And so, You imagine them all as monsters lurking in the recesses of your physical brain. The permanence of their residence pleases them all. You are 14, and you've forgotten what it feels like to be happy. You take the dull edge of the razor blade you recently started using and slice it into your skin, taking the worst out of the emotional pain and replacing it with something physical. You prefer it this way. You are 20 and in college, and suddenly you can't breathe. What if you fail your bio class this semester? Is the girl you're sort of seeing going to tell someone that you have scars on your thighs? Do your friends still want to hang out with you after you made that dumb joke in the cafeteria the other day? No one has ever described this to you as a panic attack before, so you do not know what it is or why your lungs have forgotten how to take in air. In, then out. In, then out. Then in, no. Then out. Then in. Aaron hated New York. When he left to be a musician in Boston, he promised he would never come back. Until he realized that if he wanted to be a musician, he pretty much had to. It seemed like he'd invited everyone he knew to this gig he was doing in Chelsea, an opening act for only a slightly less unknown band. A few days before, Talia texted me and asked if I was going. I said I was. She didn't text me back, so I didn't know she was coming until I saw her at the bar with her boyfriend Mark. They'd started dating just before I got pregnant with Asher.
Sadie!
She waved to me with one hand and held a scotch with the other. I took Zora's hand in mine, and she squeezed. She led me to the bar.
You remember Mark?
Hi.
Mark, this is Sadie, and this is Sadie's wife, Zora.
It's great to meet you both.
It's great to see you, Talia.
I didn't know you were coming.
Yes, you did. We talked about it. You must have forgotten.
Must have.
Who else is coming?
There were already some people in the audience I recognized. Aaron's college friends. A woman with pink hair who I realized was Lily because of the moon tattoo on her neck. But no one from the high school we'd all gone to together.
Some of Aaron's friends. I don't think you know anyone.
Oh, well,
we'll be right back.
I grab Zora's wrist. We weave through the crowd in the direction of the bathroom in case Talia was watching.
Why do you put up with her?
I looked back at the bar. Talia was laughing at something her polo-clad boyfriend had said.
She was my best friend for so long.
Sometimes friends outgrow each other. Just pointing out that you were the one who wanted to escape her just now.
But...
Aaron appeared then on the stage with his electric guitar. He waved out at the crowd. He spotted me and waved. I smiled and waved back.
When you're 14 years old, you're the first person Aaron comes out to. Sitting cross-legged on your bed in your grandparents' house, he takes a deep breath and says,
"So, I think I'm a guy."
"What do you mean?"
"Like, I'm not a girl." "I've been reading about Karen Kapriva. Do you know who that is? She was a teacher, she was a man for a long time, and then she realized she was a woman."
"You're not making any sense."
"She was transgender, and I'm pretty sure I am too."
He looks at you with a mix of hope and fear dancing in his eyes. You say, "Okay."
"What do you mean, okay?"
"I mean, I believe you."
"Really?"
"You do. Aaron is your best friend, the person to whom you tell everything. Both of you had held whispered confessionals in your blanket forts about your frustrations with Kate, about your feelings towards your father, about liking girls. You're still not entirely sure what transgender means, but if Aaron says that he's a boy, then you believe him.
Mom's gonna flip though.
Just a few weeks ago, you had come out to Kate as a lesbian, and she laughed. She had said,
"Good one! That's funny."
You shrug. You tell Aaron that he won't be alone. You will be there with him. After, Zora and I lay wrapped in only our sheets on each other. She pushed my hair out of my eyes.
"God damn, girl."
"God damn yourself."
"What are you thinking about?"
"Do you remember your surgery?"
"Surgery?"
"Your appendix. We just started dating and we were supposed to go see a show or get dinner or something. But you got really sick and ended up in the hospital. You told me you were getting surgery and, I mean, I guess I thought I might hear from you later, but you called me almost as soon as you got out. There was just moaning on the other side and I was freaking out until your sister picked up and she said you were fine, just drugged."
"Poor Leah doubled me, though, that whole time. I don't remember calling you."
"You were super out of it. That was when I knew you loved me. We'd been on like 3 dates and you called me."
"I mean, I'm glad my high self knew to send you a sign. I don't even think I knew that I loved you yet."
"What can I say? Hi, Zora knows what's up."
"You're such a dork."
"You married me. When did you know that I loved you?"
Kate's apartment."
"Excuse me?"
"It was the first time I met her. We were there for Thanksgiving and she had a couple friends over and I only knew you and I think I'd met Aaron once."
"Oh God, that was the one where we fought about... What were we fighting about?"
"I don't even remember. You left the living room before she could make a huge scene and I followed you down the hall. You let me hold you while you cried. You were such a private person. I think I realized then how much you trusted me. Maybe even loved me."
"Glad my turmoil is a cherished memory of yours."
"Oh, hon, all my memories of you are cherished.